Good morning, everybody. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and sing praise unto the Lord. So join me in prayer. Dear God, you're an awesome God, and we worship you. You're worthy of praise, all the praise that we can give. We pray, Lord, that you would cleanse us from our sin and make us whole again. Redeem us for good works, because you've created us that we would walk in those. Thank you for saving us by faith, through grace by faith. And Lord, we're just so grateful for salvation through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I ask you to help us now to be true worshipers, pour out our praise to you today. Strengthen each one in their daily lives and help them, Lord, to put you first and see their mission that you've given them. And help us all to see that, Lord, and to fulfill the task that you give us day by day. We love you. Thank you for answering these prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
God is great. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah, name above all names. Fire in his eyes, healing in his veins. Everywhere is glory on display. Take a look at those stars, he can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run, the angels have to praise. Even the wind and waves obey
our God. Is an awesome God, he reigns.
He reigns
from heaven above with winds of power and love. Our God is an awesome
our
God.
God.
Our God,
our God
is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with winds of power and love. Our God is an awesome God.
And even when I ran, he didn't run away. He came and put down. Sunday morning rose up from that grave. Take a look at those scars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King. Oh, let all the saints and the angels sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Eyes on the sky, there will be a day. He will come and wipe our tears away. No more fear, no more pain, no more sorrow, sin, or shame. The King is coming back again. A reign of love that will never end. Everything you do, and everything you are, I'll sing to you. My God, you're an awesome God, you're great. In all you do, I'm made to worship you. My God, you're an awesome God. What an awesome, awesome God you are. No one like you, none beside you. God, we worship
our
you.
It's an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
We sing.
Our God is an awesome God, he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome
yes,
God.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Raise your voices to the Lord this morning.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God.
Then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again.
Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar, for Christ the King.
Take a moment or two and walk around. Welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Amen. You may be seated. Read a book a few years ago called Love Does by Bob Goff. And he, all throughout that book, and I'm listening to one of his books on tape right now. Not on tape, it's on my phone. But listening to that, and but love big is a theme in a lot of his writing, and that's a theme in a lot of the gospel. Loving big, and that's what Jesus did for us. What an amazing love our Savior has given to us, and I'm so thankful for it. I hope you're thankful for it today. As we sing this, would you pour back some love on the Lord? Love Him big today as we worship, for truly we serve an amazing God with an amazing love for you and for me.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You are condemned.
Sing it all together.
And I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. And I'm alive and well. Your Spirit lives within me because you died.
Ushers, if you'll come. Father, thank you so much for the songs that we sing. And as we sing these songs, we realize, Father, these songs are the Word that teaches us, guides us, directs us, disciplines us, reveals truth to us. We open your Word, we realize, Father, it is a light, a lamp unto our feet, a guiding path. Father, we thank you that you guide us, teach us, show us, reveal to us who you are, how we are to live, how to fear you, you alone. Thank you, Father, for the gift that you give to us as we sing your word, as we pray, as we celebrate, as we worship, because opening your word and all of these things, Father, we desperately need you. We live in a world that is dark and full of sin, and we need light for our path. So we pray, Father, for guidance and direction. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to give, to join you in the work called the mission of the gospel, carrying the light of the gospel to a world that is desperately in need. So, Father, thank you for that gift that you give to us. We join you in this thing called the gospel. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for this time of worship. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak.
Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay.
Can we sing that chorus one more time as a prayer as we prepare to hear the Word of God proclaim?
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
The Bible says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. And Lord, it is our prayer right now that you would speak to us. Through the written word, through your Holy Spirit, Jesus, you are the Word, and we listen to you. I pray, God the Father, also that you would move in our midst. Let your Spirit touch each one of us, that we might understand your word, that we might accept your word, and that we might live out your word and also proclaim the word of the Lord wherever we go. Strengthen Joel now as he comes to do just that. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, praise team. Preparing our hearts and minds, the word of God speak. That is our word for today. So, finding the gospel in the Old Testament. Where do we find the gospel, the heart of the gospel in the Old Testament? We find it in the Psalm. Today we're in Psalm 119. The bulletin says, Psalm 119, Richard Manley said, we're not going to study every single verse of that whole chapter, are we? There's 100 and what is there? How many is there? 176 verses. Yes, we're going to study all 176 verses today. You're going to have to miss Sunday school. I'm just kidding. Well, Psalm 119, we're only going to look at verses 1 through 16. And we're going to get the idea about the heart of the gospel from Psalm 119. It's actually a Hebrew acrostic is what Psalm 119 really is. It takes every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and it makes this acrostic. And so we're certainly not going to look at all of it. We'll probably sometime this summer look at more passages from Psalm 119, but today only verses 1 through 16. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is mentioned 14 times in the book of Proverbs. King Solomon, who is the primary author of the book of Proverbs, mentions it over and over and over and over and over again. So you don't even have to be a biblical scholar. You don't really have to be a Hebrew scholar to understand that the idea from the book of Proverbs, but not just the book of Proverbs, but really all of the wisdom literature of the Old Covenant, the primary theme of the wisdom literature is what King Solomon teaches us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, truth, and understanding that. All right, so he's not talking about the fear of the Lord and the fact that we were afraid of the Lord. Well, I woke up today and I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death that the Lord is going to get me for all of the bad things that I've done. It's not that kind of fear. When the wisdom literature, especially King Solomon and King David, when they're talking about the fear of the Lord, they're talking about two basic things. And understand this. So it's basically saying the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you want to really know wisdom, if you want to really understand the world that we live in from a biblical perspective, then you fear the Lord. What does that mean? It means understanding who God is. I intellectually have been given this brain that God has given to me, and I know that that's the gift, one of the gifts that God has given to me in creation, and I have this brain, and so I intellectually understand who He is. I understand what He's done. I understand what He's given. I understand the gift of life that He's given physically. I understand the gift of life that He's given emotionally. I understand the gift of life that He's given spiritually. So I understand God. Now, that we're not talking about a full understanding of God. God gives us what He wants us to give us through His Word. So this side of heaven, I'll never reach that point that I fully understand God. But I've been given a brain and I've been given an understanding of who God is. I see Him in creation, as Paul tells us. I hear His word. I know His truth. So I understand who God is. But it's not enough for you, for me, for all of us to just simply know who God is. It's not enough for us to just have an intellectual understanding of God. We also must move into our heart and accept what we understand about God. So it's intellectually understanding God, and then it is living in the truth that He gives to us. So I understand Him and I live for Him. So that's what the psalmist means and King Solomon in Proverbs mean when they talk about that the fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. The world has its version of wisdom. God has His version of wisdom. They're not the same thing. They're not even in the same city. They're not even in the same country. They're not even in the same world. They are two totally different things. There's the world's version of wisdom and knowledge and truth, and it is nuts. There's the biblical, godly version of wisdom. They're not the same thing. And so you and I, every single day, tomorrow, we are going to choose, whether you want to or not, whether you think you are or not, but I'm telling you, tomorrow, you and I will choose all day long. Am I going to go in the world's version? Or am I going to go in God's version? Am I going to live for the world's version of wisdom, or am I going to live for God's version of wisdom? And it just so happens that the psalmist agrees with King Solomon. Listen to what he says starting in verse 1. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all of their heart. Get it? It's not just in the brain. It is in the heart as well. They do not compromise it with evil. They walk only in His paths. You have charged us to keep Your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect Your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with Your commands. As I learn Your righteous regulations, I will thank You by living as I should. I will obey Your decrees. And then this is my favorite word in Psalm 119. I pray it every single day when I preach the gospel to myself. Lord, please, please don't give up on me. I say it this way. Lord, today I can't leave the farm. Because when I leave the farm, it's a mess. I'm a mess, and I'm a mess when I stay on the farm. So Lord, don't give up on me, okay? Don't give up on me. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying Your word. I've tried hard to find You. Don't let me wander from Your commands. I've hidden Your word in my heart that I might not sin against You. I praise You, O Lord. Teach me Your decrees. I've recited aloud all the regulations that You've given us. I have rejoiced in Your laws as much as in riches. I will study Your commandments, and I will reflect on Your way and Your truth. I will delight in Your word, and I will not forget Your word. So wisdom then becomes one of the great gifts that God gives to His people. James in the New Testament tells us that God gives those who've asked in faith, He gives them wisdom. And yet the Lord does not ordinarily just grant that wisdom by placing it immediately in our hearts and in our minds. It comes through diligent study, application of the word. And that's what this passage of Scripture reveals for us and emphasizes. So if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, then we cannot fear Him if we do not know Him. And that's where God's word comes in. Verse 7 says, as I learn Your righteous regulations, Lord, I will thank You by living as I should. I praise You. I honor You because I understand Your guidance and Your direction. Max Lucado writes, the psalmist proclaims great blessing on the person who seeks to know and walk in the law of God, that is the Word. Even going so far as to assert that the one who lives according to the Lord's statutes will not be ashamed. For in that final day, when Jesus comes again, those of us who know the new covenant, we understand Christ, the Messiah. For in that final day when Jesus comes again at the second coming, all people will see that those who have served the Lord will be honored. So the psalmist is not talking about perfection. Let me tell you something. Nobody understands sin more than the writer of this psalm. Nobody. Nobody in this congregation understands imperfection, sin, flaw, need, desire. Nobody gets that more than the psalmist. So the psalmist is not talking about, okay, You need to live for, once you get to perfection, once you make it there, then God will bless you, oh, by no stretch of the imagination. Now, those of us who've lived in the new covenant beyond the psalmist, we understand that perfectly. There's only one. His name is Jesus, and I'm not him. Wisdom comes to those who seek God and endeavor to follow his truth. Once again, Lucado writes, the psalmist then expands on the great blessing of obeying the Lord according to his word by emphasizing the practicality of putting scripture to work in our lives. Verse 11 is the key. He confesses that he has stored up God's word in his heart in order that he might not sin against the Lord or live in that sin. He's not just talking about the simple memorization of Bible, although that certainly is not a bad thing to do. Hiding the word of God in our hearts involves both knowing what God has revealed and then living our entire life in devotion to the Lord. Get it? It is knowing who God is, knowing what he has revealed to us, and then living according to that truth. Hiding the word in our hearts does not only mean knowing what it says, it also involves structuring our lives around its truth. It means to be so dominated by his word that it is embedded in our everyday life. Thus, the reason Joel preaches the gospel to himself every single day. Why? Because the word of God has to be embedded in this heart. It has to be embedded in this brain. The word of God has to saturate this life, or I'm in big trouble. When we have the word of God hidden in our hearts, then we are equipped to resist temptation. We're better able to discern the difference between what is good and bad, between what is right and wrong, between what is righteous and sin. When we have this word embedded in our hearts, then we're able to navigate these treacherous waters that we call life. I'm not a boat guy. I don't have a boat. I've never had a boat. And those of you that have boats, you know what I'm talking about, that you got to be careful out on Lake Gunnersville. You can't just go barreling out there. And I learned that early on. Right when we first moved here, back in 1937, I think it was, but right when the lake was first created, Frank and Nora, Frank had a boat, pontoon boat, and he had it down here by the marina at top of the river, one of those marinas. So Janice and the boys and I, we load up with Frank and Nora, and I think maybe Barbara and Larry, maybe Candy and Danny, I think we piled onto that pontoon boat with those three babies, boys of ours. And we go tooling around Lake Gunnersville. And I sat up there by Frank. Frank was, you know, driving and navigating around the lake. And I was absolutely amazed watching the depth finder at how shallow this lake is. I mean, it's a shallow lake. I mean, you just assume when you look at it that, I mean, there's deep parts in the lake, sure, but it's shallow. So I remember having this conversation with Frank about that, and Frank was saying, yeah, you got to be real careful out here. You know, if you're not careful, you don't know what you're doing. If you don't understand what that buoy means right there, and if you don't understand what that buoy means right over there, and if you don't understand what side to stay on, well, you better stay on this side. If you don't understand all of that, then you can get yourself into some big trouble in a boat out here on Lake Gunnersville. Boy, you'll run aground real quick and get yourself in a lot of trouble. And that's life. The world that we live in is treacherous. You got to be careful. You'll run aground. You'll be in big trouble. Every single Tuesday when we finish staff meeting, sometimes our staff meetings last 15 minutes, and sometimes they last 2 hours. Sometimes we solve all the world's problems, and sometimes we sit and listen to me ramble on, kind of like what I'm doing right now. And it just kind of goes on and on forever. But every single Tuesday when we end staff meeting, I'll say, has anybody got anything else? No, nothing other than that. I'll say the same thing every week, don't I, Ken? Y'all be careful out there. Y'all be careful out there. It's a hard world. You'll run aground. Be very careful. So God's word guides us and helps us to navigate these treacherous waters called the world, enables us to steer clear of the problems that entice us to sin. A good example is Proverbs 1. He says in Proverbs 1, King Solomon, the Lord encouraged us, seek wise counsel and instruction for those who have forged the way before us and from the instruction that comes throughout His word. I'm going to read Psalm 119, 1 through 16 again from Eugene Peterson's translation called The Message. You're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God's truth. You're blessed when you follow His directions, doing your best to find Him. That's right. You don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road that He has set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping the course that you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me, Lord. How can a young person live a clean life? By carefully reading the map of your word. I'm single-minded in my pursuit of you. Don't let me miss the road signs that you've posted. I've banked your promises in the vault of my heart so that I won't send myself bankrupt. Yes. Be blessed, God, to train me in your ways of wise living. I'll transfer to my lips all the counsel that comes from your mouth. I delight far more in what you tell me about living than in gathering a pile of riches. I ponder every morsel of wisdom from you. I attentively watch how you've done it. I relish everything you've told me of life, and I won't regret or forget a word of it. Now that is the blessing that you and I receive today. The blessing that you and I receive today is following God's truth and knowing His truth in His word. I don't say this every single Sunday, but I say it every single Sunday. The greatest blessing of life is what God has done for us in Jesus. There's nothing that even compares. What God has given to us in Jesus is by far, hands down, nothing, no money compares, nothing family, nothing compares to the gift that God the Father, creator of all things, creator of every life in this sanctuary, nothing even compares to the gift that the Creator God has given to us, life in the name of His Son Jesus. So that's the greatest gift of all. Well, how in the world do you know about that gift? How do you know how to receive that gift? It's the greatest gift that's been given. And yet you and I are wandering aimlessly around in this world. So how do we know the light of that gift and the truth of that gift? We know it from the truth that He gives us in His Word. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. Whoever would believe in Him would not ever perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest gift of all. Where do we get it? We find it in the Word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing. Hearing what? Hearing the truth claim of Christ revealed in His Word. Romans 10, 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, because you already believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that is, you claim the gospel and you believe the gospel, then you will be saved. How do you know all of that? Because God has revealed His truth to us in His Word. The heart of the gospel from the Psalms teaches us today that we find truth, light in a dark world full of lies through how He's revealed Himself to us in His Word. Father, thank You for that gift. Thank You for the gift of Your Word. We see You in creation, but more than just seeing You and knowing who You are in creation, as Paul teaches us, we hear Your Word proclaimed. We see Your Word as we read, as we study, as we diligently find Your truth. Because, Father, we live in a world that is dark and treacherous, and we got to be careful. We'll run aground. We're going to be in big trouble. We need to be navigating, and the only way we can is through Your Word. Thank You, Father, for that gift that You've given to us. The heart of the gospel. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God's raised Him from the dead, we find that truth in Your Word that You've revealed to us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We see Jesus in Your Word. Because He is the Word. We find life in His name because of Your revealed Word. Faith comes from hearing the truth claim of Christ. So, Father, thank You for that gift today. Thank You for the heart of the gospel today and being revealed to us through the power of Your Word. If there's anybody that's here today that's trying to make it on their own, Father, reveal to them, may they see spiritually the truth claim of Jesus. For those of us who know You as Savior and Lord, Father, we're trying to barrel down on our own. Just hold on to us. Don't let us go. We have this terrible tendency called sin. And that terrible tendency teaches us to strike out on our own. So don't let us go, Lord. Thank You for that truth that You revealed to us in Your Word. The psalmist was just like me. Don't leave me, Lord. Don't run off and leave me. Hold on to me. What a powerful, powerful, powerful truth. So those of us that know You as Savior and Lord, Father, thank You for that gift today, the heart of the gospel today, in Your Word and in Your old covenant. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Our invitation is Word of God speak. If you've never trusted Christ, then you've heard the gospel from Psalm 119. If you need to come and trust Jesus, we encourage you to do that. If you need to come and pray, join our church. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, do it now.
Word of God speak. Would You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty, to be still and know that You're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in Your holiness. Word of God, speak. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Word of God, speak. Would You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see Your majesty.
sea, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness, Word of God, speak.
Please be seated just for a moment as we look at some of the things that we've got going on this week as we finish up the semester and start moving into summer. All right, if you haven't given to spots, please make sure that you do. We're doing really well on that, but we are nowhere near what we need to be. So if you haven't given to spots, please give as we think about paving our parking lot and doing some renovations in our fellowship hall. All right, what we got next? Vacation Bible School coming up in just a few weeks. If you haven't signed up to help Mike and you want to do so, right in front of the library, or just talk to Micah or Rachel and they will get you signed up in the right place. Kids camp coming up June 23 through 26, and you can sign up with that for your children as well. All right. Today, taco luncheon. This is the last. Yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
Yeah, y'all come meet with us this afternoon. We'll have meals ready for Build Your Own Taco. If y'all want to get something to go, get something to eat here and fellowship right here with us, we'd love it. Our youth will serve you. So just whatever you normally spend on a lunch or whatever you feel led to give, we'd appreciate you as we prepare to go to Belize. We're still raising money and still preparing, and so we appreciate all the help we can get. So after the Sunday school hour or after the second service, come join us.
Today is the last day for fundraising, right?
We do have some other things. We are going to make that yard sale happen later. We've got some things going on. Graduation and all that stuff has kind of hit our fundraising team. And so we got some other things, but this will be the last luncheon that we do.
And this is one of those things, true, church. Obviously, you know that if you've already have plans for lunch and you're not going to get tacos, you can give financially to the Belize trip for this summer. They'll take your money, I promise you that. So if you haven't given to them, then please make sure that you do. All right, so what else we got? Today is all the money is to be turned in for fundraisers, all right? What's next? Top of the River, our senior adults, their next event, June 17, sign up on the old Lord's Supper table. And then Scott's Orchard is Tuesday, June 24th. Once again, sign up on the old Lord's Supper table for them. All right, Ken, got anything?
I do not.
This past Wednesday night was our last Wednesday night for our spring semester. So our children's ministry is done for every week Wednesday night. They have stuff all summer long. So for those of you that have children in children's ministry, just know, follow Micah and Rachel on the Facebook page, and they'll guide you on what they're doing. Suppers are done for the semester. We'll start those back in August, so keep that in mind as well. Ken's schedule just continues as normal. My schedule in here continues as normal, and I think the youth will continue as normal, right?
Yes, we will. We'll meet every, besides VBS, 4th of July, there's just a few weeks that we'll miss, but we'll be here in worship.
All right, sounds good. Let's all stand and close by singing Celebrate Jesus.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
He is risen.
He is risen. He is risen. And he lives.
Oh, yes, he is.
Forevermore. He is risen. He is risen. Come on.
Celebrate
the resurrection of our Lord. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus now.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Celebrate Jesus time.
Celebrate Jesus, celebrate. Celebrate Jesus, celebrate.
Come on and celebrate Jesus time.
Celebrate.